Hello, this is Randy Thompson, bringing a musical history moment to you via Music Review and the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is primarily designed to bring news about various genres of music, including country, folk, bluegrass, classical, jazz, and rock, to people who are blind and print impaired. As indicated by today's intro music, the nitty-gritty Dirt Band's Raleigh Durham Reel, today's program is a special program designed to celebrate North Carolina music in general and bluegrass music in particular. The historical backgrounds of this music is today's emphasis. But first, these musical riddles. So, musical riddle number one. What's the difference between a banjo player and a mutual fund? And our second musical riddle. Now, we've all heard that when you play certain rock and roll records backwards, you hear hidden messages. So what do you get if you play country songs backwards? Well, the answers to these two important musical riddles will be given later on in today's program. So why are we featuring bluegrass music anyway? Well, turns out that every September for the past 7 years, Raleigh has hosted the International Bluegrass Music Association, IBMA, Festival. In addition, there's the possibility that the North Carolina Museum of History might install an exhibit featuring the music of North Carolina, or even a special exhibit on bluegrass music. North Carolina has a long history of musical influences from various genres, going back to Professor Kay Kaiser, Thelonious Monk, Max Roach, Wynton Marsalis, John Coltrane, Nina Simone, Rihanna Giddens, Nina Freelon, the Kruger Brothers, the Chompy Quartet, Jay Cole, George Clinton, Emmylou Harris, Maceo Parker, Charlie Daniels, Randy Travis, Scotty McCreary, Darius Rucker, Eric Church, Ronnie Millsap, the Squirrel Nut Zippers, Ben Folds, the Avett Brothers, James Taylor, and of course, Earl Scruggs and Doc Watson, to mention but a few. This year's lineup of bluegrass performers at the 2020 Festival, September 28 to October 3rd, includes the Steep Canyon Rangers, Chatham County Line, the Kruger Brothers, Mandolin Orange, Del McCurry, Jerry Douglas, and Molly Tuttle. The IBMA Bluegrass Live is produced by Raleigh-based traditional music nonprofit Pinecone.org, which has sponsored free Music of the Carolinas concerts at our NC Museum of History on Sundays since 1998. And by the way, the IBMA Festival first came to Raleigh from Nashville, Tennessee in 2013. And with a new contract recently signed, it will now remain in Raleigh for at least the next several years. Last year alone, the IBMA Festival attracted over 218,000 visitors to the area. More than 1 million people have attended festival activities in Raleigh just during the event's first 6 years, resulting in over $61 million in local spending.
Withered on the vine.
Bluegrass Music's reigning entertainers of the year, Balsam Range, from Western North Carolina, performing Blue Collar Dreams, introduces this question. What is bluegrass music anyway? Many sources addressing this question and documenting the history of this music are readily accessible in such sources as BluegrassHeritage.org, Britannic Encyclopedia, Smithsonian Magazine, and many online sites through Google.com searches. One such site, for example, notes that the roots of bluegrass reach back to the music brought to America by immigrants in the early 1600s, including dance music and ballads from Ireland, Scotland, and England, as well as African-American gospel music and blues. In fact, slaves from Africa brought the design idea for the banjo, an instrument now intrinsic to the bluegrass sound. As the early Jamestown settlers began to spread out into the Carolinas, Tennessee, Kentucky, and the Virginias, they composed new songs about day-to-day life experiences in the new land. Since most of these people lived in rural areas, the songs reflected life on the farm or in the hills, and this type of music was therefore called mountain music or country music. The invention of the phonograph and the onset of radio in the early 1900s brought this old-time music out of the rural southern mountains and to people all over the United States and then all over the world.
With an aching back, blood, tears, and sweat, blue-collar dreams keep me in bed. Ain't tell you why I don't leave this old
Singing became a more important part of country music, and duets like the Monroe Brothers from Kentucky, the Bluegrass State, contributed greatly. Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys first appeared on the Grand Ole Opry in 1939. By the 1950s, people began referring to this type of music as bluegrass music. Bluegrass bands began forming all over the country, and Bill Monroe became the acknowledged father of bluegrass music. While many date the genre back to 1939, most believe that the classic bluegrass sound gelled in 1945, shortly after Earl Scruggs played an innovative three-finger picking style on the banjo. Guitarist Lester Flatt from Tennessee also joined the Bluegrass Boys band that same year. After experimenting with various instrumental combinations, Bill Monroe settled on mandolin, banjo, fiddle, guitar, and bass as the format. Scruggs and Flatt eventually formed their own group, the Foggy Mountain Boys, and incorporated the resophonic guitar, or dobro, into the bluegrass format of musical instruments. From 1948 to 1969, Flatt and Scruggs were a major force in introducing bluegrass music to America. Scruggs wrote and recorded one of bluegrass music's most famous instrumental, Foggy Mountain Breakdown, which is playing in the background now. This song was used in the soundtrack for the 1967 film Bonnie and Clyde, spreading bluegrass music even further. Flatt and Scruggs also provided the music for the popular TV series The Beverly Hillbillies. The song Dueling Banjos, performed in the movie Deliverance, also served to spread the appeal of bluegrass instruments. The Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, who opened today's program with their Raleigh Durham Reel, released the triple LP set Will the Circle Be Unbroken in 1972, which introduced artists like Earl Scruggs, Doc Watson, Maybelle Carter, and Roy Acuff to pop music fans, bringing the authentic sounds of bluegrass and traditional country music to new audiences. In 2001, the movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, attracted even wider audiences to bluegrass. Bluegrass music is now performed and enjoyed around the world. The IBMA alone claims members in all 50 states and more than 30 countries, in addition to the classic style born in 1945 that is still performed widely. Bluegrass bands today reflect influences from a variety of genres, including jazz, Celtic music, so-called newgrass rock and roll, classical music, and southern gospel music, and the lyrics to bluegrass tunes have been translated to numerous languages. As noted in the website BlueRidgeHeritage.com, the Krüger brothers were originally from Switzerland and toured Europe, both Eastern and Western Europe, playing bluegrass music. Their music not only helps demonstrate the worldwide diffusion of this musical genre, but also the melding of bluegrass with other musical genres, including even classical music. Here's a sample. In 1997, the Krüger brothers were introduced to American audiences at Merlefest, the North Wilkesboro festival named in honor of Doc Watson's son. The Krüger brothers were big fans of Doc Watson's music, and they felt at home in the mountains of northwest North Carolina. The trio moved to the United States in 2002, and they live just a few miles from the Merlefest grounds at Wilkes County Community College. Now, some of the Krüger brothers' recent recordings feature Jens' compositions that combine the acoustic trio with classical orchestras and chamber groups, most notably the Contras Quartet. In 2013, the Krüger brothers released a recording dedicated to their late friend and mentor, Doc Watson. Jens Krüger was inducted in the Blue Ridge Music Hall of Fame in 2011, and he received the Steve Martin Prize for Excellence in Banjo and Bluegrass Music in 2013. That Krüger Brothers selection, by the way, with the Contras Quartet, is titled Sacred Ground, and it's from their Rhone Mountain Suite CD, recorded in 2017. So, how'd you do on those musical riddles? Well, the answer to our first one, what's the difference between a banjo player and a mutual fund? Well, the mutual fund will eventually mature and make money. Okay. Now, to be fair, that one could have been told about any musical genre. And given all the contributions to music from North Carolina, let's hope that bluegrass musicians do prosper. But perhaps unlike mutual funds, let's also hope that they never do mature. Maturity might restrict their creative genius. And the answer to our second one, what do you get if you play country songs backwards? Well, you get your house back, you get your dog back, you get your best friend Jack back, you get your truck back, you get your hair back, you get your first and second jobs back, your front porch swing, your bling, 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 and a diamond ring. You get your farm and the barn and the boat and the Harley and that old black cat named Charlie. It's important to laugh, especially during difficult times, and it's nice to realize that we can even laugh at ourselves. Well, I've enjoyed sharing our musical history moment with you. I hope you've enjoyed it also. This is Randy Thompson wishing you a safe and eventual return to such places as the North Carolina Museum of History in Raleigh, and, of course, the 2021 Bluegrass Festival in Raleigh.
Tell me how you're doing, how it's treating you.
Steve Martin, for whom the Banjo Award was named, is not only a talented bluegrass musician, but also an actor, writer, and comedian who has performed at the IBMA Festival in Raleigh. His banjo playing is featured here, with vocals from Edie Brickell, on an appropriately titled tune, When You Get to Asheville. And this has been that North Carolina dedicated tune by Steve Martin and Edie Brickell, playing in the background right now. As indicated earlier, the popularity of bluegrass music has spread throughout the world. As noted in NPR.org, for example, Japan's robust bluegrass scene, considered the world's second largest, started with two brothers, Yasushi and Hisashi Ozaki. They formed the country's first bluegrass duo back in 1957. Although their father first introduced them to this musical genre in the 1930s, it wasn't until the late 1940s that they got to listen to the country and roots music they loved on the new radio service set up for American soldiers in occupied Japan. The brothers eventually formed the bluegrass band East Mountain Boys and perform for American GIs. The popularity of bluegrass music remains in Japan at fever pitch. The number of young players, especially women, has shot up. Groups like Bluegrass Police and Bluegrass 45 now regularly perform at bluegrass festivals throughout Japan and at clubs like Rocky Top in Tokyo. Bluegrass musicians traveling to Japan are shocked to see how they are treated like rock gods, continually thronged by adoring young fans. And when the IBMA annual festival comes to Raleigh, bluegrass groups come here from not just Japan, but from all over the world.
Something brand new. Time winds on, feeling strong. What else can I do? I'm homesick for a place I've never been to.
Here, for example, is an Irish bluegrass band called Cup of Joe that performed at last year's IBMA Festival in Raleigh. This song, titled Homesick, perhaps especially appropriate for this year's Bluegrass Music Festival, since in 2020 it will be somewhat quiet in Raleigh. The music, however, is being offered as a free online service on October 2nd and 3rd. IBMA Bluegrass Live will be aired free on the virtual event platform SwapCard. Go to pinecone.org or worldofbluegrass.org for additional details.
It's another new day. Hopes and ambitions here stay.
Which raises the question, is bluegrass America's music? Well, bluegrass music certainly has American roots, but it has also enjoyed a worldwide spread in popularity. Bluegrass music and festivals have become especially popular throughout the British Isles, throughout both Western and Eastern Europe, in Australia, Japan, and even in Russia. As noted in 2011 article in Bluegrass Today by Daniel Mullins, bluegrass is part of the American melting pot because of the varying influences which formed it for a number of reasons. One being that the instruments in a traditional bluegrass band, banjo, fiddle, guitar, mandolin, and bass, have international origins. The guitar is an instrument from Spain. The mandolin, fiddle, and acoustic bass all come from Italy, and the design for the banjo was brought over by slaves from Africa. All of these instruments are critical in a bluegrass band, and they all originate from around the globe, but come together to form a distinctly American sound. The sounds these immigrants brought with them to the Appalachian regions in the 1600s are considered the roots of mountain, old-time, country, and bluegrass music. Regardless whether we consider it an American art form because of its influences from early immigrants or from Southerners trying to make a sound all their own, it remains an artistic treasure that will be cherished for generations to come. We may not be of one mind on what can properly be considered bluegrass, but we should all be united in supporting the music and the impact it has made and will continue to make on American culture and history. Banjo virtuoso Bella Fleck, who has performed recently at the IBMA Festival in Raleigh, introduces this article published 6/22/16 in ncarboretum.org by Whitney Smith titled Discovering the Roots of Appalachian Music. In addition to being the oldest mountain chain in North America, the Southern Appalachian region is full of old traditions enriched by a wide variety of people and culture. From quilting to farming to arts and craft, these longtime traditions have been passed down throughout the region from generation to generation, including music. Asheville in western North Carolina may be known for their thriving modern-day music scene, but traditions of old-time string band music, ballad singing, and bluegrass date back well into the 1700s. The banjo, originally brought to America by enslaved Africans, was initially made of gourd bodies or pots covered in animal hide. Before the Civil War, the banjo, which was often paired with the fiddle, was a popular instrument for white and black musicians living in the Appalachian Mountain region. In fact, according to the Blue Ridge National Heritage Area, no other place has had more influence on the development of the banjo in America than Western North Carolina. In addition to Bella Fleck, musicians from North Carolina's western Piedmont and mountain region, including Earl Scruggs, Charlie Poole, and Snuffy Jenkins, are recognized as the creators and popularizers of modern banjo styles.
It was in the spring, one sunny day, my sweetheart left me, Lord, she went away. And now she's gone, and I don't weary, Lord, I'm sitting on top of the world.
Doc Watson's Sitting on Top of the World introduces this bio of a North Carolina bluegrass legend, published in Encyclopedia Britannica. Doc Watson, born March 3, 1923, near Deep Gap, North Carolina, died May 29, 2012, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. American musician and singer who introduced a flat picking style that elevated the acoustic guitar from a rhythmically strummed background instrument to a leading role in bluegrass, country, folk, and rock music, notably during the folk music revival of the 1960s.
If you don't like my peaches, don't shake my tree, and get out of my orchard, let my peaches be. And now she's gone, and I don't worry, thought I'm sitting on top of.
Watson was blind from infancy. He grew up on a farm, and with the encouragement of his father, he learned to play guitar, banjo, and harmonica, often picking out tunes that he heard on the radio or on old records. After a few years at the Governor Moorhead School for the Blind in Raleigh, he quit and became playing and singing for tips on street corners and at amateur competitions, including some that were broadcast on local radio stations. Though he did not record professionally until he was in his late 30s, Watson quickly rose to prominence with his smooth baritone voice and folksy charm, as well as his masterful renditions on traditional and popular tunes, backed by his virtuoso banjo and flat pick and guitar playing. He appeared at the Newport Folk Festival to great acclaim in 1963 and again in 1964. His fan base, and indeed that of many older country musicians, was renewed again when the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band collaborated with him and others on the groundbreaking crossover album Will the Circle Be Unbroken, 1972. In 1988, he founded the annual acoustic Merle Watson Memorial Festival, Merle Fest, in Wilkesboro, North Carolina. Between 1973 and 2006, Watson won 8 Grammy Awards, including a Lifetime Achievement Award, 2004. He received the National Medal of Arts from U.S. President Bill Clinton in 1997, and 3 years later, he was inducted into the International Bluegrass Music Hall of Honor. Well, let's close out today's program with the Stanley Brothers' Bluegrass Goodbye, If We Never Meet Again.
French Mountain Boys Quartet, ganging around the Jim Walter microphone here, Pat Napier, Fiddlin' Mayo, Brother Ralph, and yours truly. We've got a number we'd like to do for you, especially all of you sick and shut-in listeners, wherever you might be, if we never meet again this side of heaven.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. And as we leave you, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Music Review, readily available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org.